Turning this on.
And secondly, at the last meeting, you all asked that a representative of Lincoln County Transit attend this meeting. And we have a representative here. And so I don't remember whose suggestion it was, but why don't we, whoever brought it up, bring it up to Lincoln County Transit?
Well, I think I brought up...
Could we introduce ourselves first?
Yes.
Because we've got some new people at the table, or maybe people we haven't seen before.
Well, Mark Salins is the council liaison to this non-committee that will soon be a committee, hopefully.
Fred Colazo.
Frank Geltner.
Robin Dennis.
Linda Neigebauer.
Greg Schicker.
Wendy Engler.
Stan Rowe.
Tim Gross.
Mike Eastman.
Peggy Hocker.
Thank you.
All right, Wendy.
When we were looking at the universal symbols that, Mike, I don't know if you brought a thing with the bus sign. Yeah, great. There is the transit sign, and I had thought it would be good to have that sign at the different bus stops. And then it would, their schedule is usually pretty small. At least that sign would highlight the fact that that was a bus stop. It would look official.
Do they already? So, don't you have a sign that has the different routes? And usually on the top, you have a transit sign. I have to look. I don't remember,
okay,
though.
Okay, there's bus stops that the inner city buses stop at, and they have a green sign with a bus logo on it. And there's signs that are specific to the Newport Loop route that only have the schedule on it, the printed schedule.
Okay.
So,
and I don't think there's very many of the others because it's the inner city route.
City Hall, no, you're right, there's not.
Here's a better question. Would you be fundamentally opposed if we added signage to make the stops a little bit more clear that is consistent with the other signage that we're doing?
I would love it.
Solved.
Really? Whoa, I love it.
That was easy, wasn't it?
Okay. Do you want to get together to discuss the nuts and bolts?
Yeah, I think what we're going to do as part of the one of the initial tasks of this committee is come up with a kind of a 10,000-foot plan of how we want to do the directional signage, more specifically, where we need to add additional signage.
Yeah.
And on that, I think, would be the transit locations. And we would identify where your stops are, and then what sign we would propose to add if necessary to supplement your existing signage, and possibly, I don't know, if there's some older signage that maybe would replace, or that's a question we need to kind of get down the road, and we'd probably have to do an inventory of those.
Yeah.
It would be helpful to get from you where all those stops are specifically,
okay,
so that we could add them to our map that shows where we're proposing directional signage.
Okay, do you want me to email those to you?
That would be fantastic. I think you'll get a copy of this sheet, and it'll have my email address on it. Otherwise, I can just send you a business
card. We're in here. We're in here, Cinda. Okay. Can you grab a chair from out there?
Sure,
you go
right here.
Oh, there's one back there. Never mind.
Okay, thank you.
And be sure to sign the sign-in sheet.
oh, yeah, where?
So two more people have come. Chuck Boranash, who's been a member of this committee for a long time, member of the non-committee, and Cinda Bruce, who runs the Lincoln County Transit District.
Okay.
So Cinda, Fred was just talking about signage, because I think that the idea that this committee had was to better mark the bus stops.
Yes.
And he said that he didn't think that you would have any opposition to the city marking the bus stops better. And he's going to work with Tim to develop.
Oh, that sounds wonderful.
That's the basically transit logo, isn't it?
Yeah, it would be. You know, what I'm thinking in my head is oftentimes there's already a signpost at a bus stop location, and there may not be, but usually they have the route signs on them that tells you what route is coming off of that stop. We'd simply supplement that with something along these lines. So when people are driving from a distance, they recognize it as a bus stop.
That sounds good.
And or using these signs at adjacent intersections, directing people to where the bus stop is. So as they're walking down the street and they say, oh, there's a bus stop a block down.
Oh.
You know, that's part of what this wayfinding committee is about, is identifying how we can direct people who are not familiar with Newport to the destinations within Newport, which would include bus stops.
That sounds wonderful.
Pretty easy for me to do a 12 by 18 sign that, which is the parking, you know, no parking standard size with a logo at the top, and then differentiating between the local loop or the inner city.
So 12 by 18?
Well, yesterday in preparation for this meeting, I did an inventory of all our signs around town, and I have suggestions for upgrading. Now, is this going to include South Beach, for example?
Oh, yeah. That's Newport.
Okay.
If it falls in the Newport municipal boundary, I say everything's on the table.
Okay.
If you would be so kind as to possibly get together with Mike and help share with him.
Oh.
Mike Eastman here. Mike Eastman is our sign guru.
Oh, good.
And emphasis on guru.
That title down.
And he has a hat that says that. But if you'd be so kind as to get together with him and share your sign inventory, so he has a base that he can start from as we start to develop our kind of our 10,000 foot perspective of what our directional signage needs to be.
Okay, do you have a business card?
Well, Mike, don't disappoint me.
Don't disappoint me.
I think Greg and I have a
I mostly carry a stack of yours.
That's nice.
I think Greg and I have a partial sign inventory that we did some months ago that maybe we could coalesce with the gentleman's sign suggestions. It's fairly pervasive. North-South, Aggie Beach to South
Beach. Well, we're specifically talking about transit signage at this particular second.
Oh, okay.
Trying to better identify the bus stops.
Contact information
and location.
On the back of Tim's card.
Okay.
Maybe.
Or is it just right here? Yeah, there's room
why
on there.
Why don't you put it on his notebook?
Oh, okay.
Yeah. It's just m.eastman at newport.org. Newport.
Yeah. Let me get you
Newport.
Oh, there it is.
Newportoregon.gov.
Give you a cell phone too.
My only one concern of that would be the fact that they see that they think the city has their own bus system going about different spots.
Even if they thought that, would that make a difference?
Well, the transit stops at some stops within Newport, but not everything.
What about won't you be able to have a schedule below those signs? Lincoln County, I know there has been a schedule, but a lot of times they get lost or fall down. And I think that would be really helpful if the county could make a more durable or keep the signs updated.
Are we trying to differentiate between the city loop and the other transit amenities?
Yeah, but those are details that we can work out. That's
right.
Not really
an
issue.
Yeah.
All of them need to be upgraded, they all need work.
If you have a 12 by 18 sign, there's enough room to attach.
Right.
Because
this logo is, you know, I mean, I can make it any size, but it's 12 by 12.
And it's universal. They use that sign
for everything.
You know,
yeah.
All over the state.
Yeah.
So
putting the whole schedule there is kind of another issue, but
right.
Identifying that it's a bus stop and which line it is, you know, that's easy.
But it'll be up to the county to put the schedule up. I mean, that's the city wayfinding. We'll get into that.
Maybe separating it from the sign. Will, yeah.
But really, the purpose is so people know where the bus stops are.
Yeah.
And to further confuse the issue, we're part of a 5-county connect project, and a few of the stops in Newport have been identified as connect locations. So there'll be another sign.
Well, maybe this perspective would help. My older stepson basically doesn't drive, and so my wife is from back east, and so as a native Oregonian, you know, starting to experience going back to some really big cities was really interesting. And you know, this issue of who's providing the transportation, we play this game of basically arriving at a city. Normally we'll do some research ahead of time, and all these sorts of kind of universal attributes for getting around town are everything we rely on, you know. So it's like, who's providing the transportation is secondary. Understanding where we can go and how we're going to get about on our vacation is the primary thing. And it's really fun. I mean, it's turned into kind of part of our vacation. It's sort of like, okay, what big city do we want to go experience back east this time? And then, you know, my boys will do a little bit of research, and then we show up and basically mostly rely on signage, you know. And of course, if you do get confused, you can always whip out yourself to some of those bigger cities and connect everything together. And that's usually after the fact, you know, like maybe the first or second evening that we're on vacation, that we begin understanding, you know, who's really providing the transportation. Oh, it is a city system. Oh, okay, let's go out to their website and see if there's more information about it or whatever. So, you know, that basic navigation piece is, I think, the first thing.
And also, I was just wondering, that what Mark said made me think of this. Does Lincoln County Transit have an app that people could download by way of a QR code with their smartphones?
Those are those little square things. Uh-huh. Yes, we are currently working on that. Yeah. It's not out yet, but we have folks working on that for us.
So when that's done, we could maybe add that to the...
Be nice to add to the schedule
or whatever.
Yeah, just on your schedule.
Yeah, I mean, that can even be added by decal.
Yeah.
Oh, very good.
That'd be fantastic.
Yes.
Right.
For the maps.
Mm-hmm. Well, excellent. Anybody else have anything regarding transit? It seems like Mike and Fred are going to be working together, and perhaps Tim, and well, once the...
Didn't you say I officially delegated that, though?
What? Well, I saw how you tried to do it.
Mike will take care of it. That's why he's a guru.
New responsibility, new title.
Yeah. So anyway, unless somebody else has something else on the bus signage issue, we can move on. And then another thing that, I don't know if the agenda got like this, but at the last meeting, it was asked that we develop a sign request form, and so Tim has done that, and I'll let him talk about that.
So we did start working on a sign request form. As I got into it, I began to realize that it was an awful lot like our existing solution concern complaint form, which we already use and residents give to us, and it's the process by which we go and fill potholes, fix signage, or do anything related to public works. And Mike and I talked about it for about 25 seconds this morning. But everything that I have on the sign request form is already on this form. And this form actually has a process by which it's routed both through the supervisor, the department head, and ultimately the city manager. And so at this point, I'd like to kind of table it for the next meeting and look at just simply tweaking this form very slightly to use the same form. Because everybody's familiar with this within public works and how they work and what to do with them. Mm-hmm. And there's an automatic process for getting back and to the person who made the request and signing off and what their comments were based on their request. So I'm going to shift gears. But I only brought one copy, but I can pass around if you want to take a look at what it looks like currently.
Is that, and I don't remember the answer to this, I should know, is that on our website?
I believe it is.
I think it is, yeah.
So I mean, you can use the form now. I mean, that's the purpose of it, is a request form. And there's some language that we actually came up that helps talk about the process for signage, because the city is not the only jurisdiction that signage applies to. In fact, we're only one third of the equation, because depending on where somebody's requesting a sign, we may have to get the county and or ODOT involved. And so we have a little description that talks about that, about how that process may actually work. So people have an understanding when they ask a sign, they're like, well, how come you're taking so long? Well, because it's not our sign. It happens to be the state of Oregon, and it's on, you know, Highway 101 or Highway 20 or a county road or a jurisdiction between the two, and it takes a little bit of work to deal with. So.
Is everyone good with that, tweaking the form the city's been?
Yeah, that sounds wonderful. Yeah.
And, okay, let's... At this point, I know that Chuck has some things he wants to bring up, but let's at this point go ahead and talk about the proposed ordinance.
This is the draft of an ordinance that would come before council, probably thanks to the,
thank you, Kate.
Probably at the March 18th meeting, which would formalize this committee, because right now what we are is just a group of people who are interested in signage, who worked hard on the wayfinding plan and has no formal standing. I think Frank might have brought this up too, one of the previous meetings, but this is the draft, and then on the back, Exhibit A, is what would be actually in our municipal code. The front is the ordinance that would adopt the back. So I did email it to everybody previously and hope you've all had a chance to read it, and I'd certainly be interested in comments.
I have one comment that I saw right off the bat, and that is that all members must be residents of the city of Newport. So I own a business, but I live in Yaha.
Well, I think that so you have brought up a good point. I think
there's
we can
a lot
say
of small business
resident or business
city
owner.
City.
Yeah. Let me see where that is.
So there's many people that don't live here that have vested interests.
Okay, residents or business owners. Thank you for that. That's a good catch.
Well, I guess it just makes me think that, you know, since it starts right out with the focus on tourism, what about correcting to, you know, key landmarks, key parks, or whatever that are outside of Newport? I mean, I guess I'm thinking, what if we had I guess a citizen could always provide a public comment in that case at the meeting to say, you know, it'd be nice if you had a sign in Newport that directed people to Cape Perpetual or whatever.
Right. But those usually state signs that do that anyway.
Yeah. So
I mean, we can change that, but I feel like since, I don't know who mentioned that, since they are mostly state signs that were covered there.
Well, I'm kind of thinking out loud in that if you were going to have a session that discussed that specifically, you could always invite people to come and make public comment about it.
Exactly. You and know, I so. Think that it's kind of covered in the back and what will be in the ordinance. Number one is collaborate with staff to create, oversee, and review a directional sign system for residents and visitors to major public areas, destinations, and places in the city. And I think we could add there if you all agree, and
maybe something like or
other significant
destinations or something like that.
Or and I think we should somehow tie it to the city, so other nearby destinations. I'll try to tweak the words.
Okay.
Because this is actually what would go into our code.
And I'll tell you, I'm not trying to be difficult. I really can tell you that I'm going to be supporting the idea of having a committee like this, largely based on the experiences I just told you about, where it makes all the difference, I think, for tourists to be able to come to a community and really be able to get around, you know, and see things. And secondarily to that, having two sons, I would even go so far as to say that even people that live here who don't necessarily understand the transportation and other options that they have, they can benefit from that as well. You know, I mean,
so the idea is
sound a little bit biased here in that, you know, us older generation have been here long enough to kind of know where things are, but it amazes me sometimes how kids that have moved to the area or whatever have no idea, you know, what's around for them to do right in Newport, you know, so.
The idea of these signs are for people who are not from here.
Yeah, I know.
You know, you're directing people who have never been to Newport.
A secondary benefit can be that.
Yeah.
You know, so anyways, yeah, I think the committee is
around
a great idea.
and basically how this group got started is that when Alan O'Neill was the city manager here, he believed that we needed some signage to get people off of 101.
Right.
And my first trip to Newport, I thought, all right, I've been there, I don't need to go again. I had no idea there was a beach here. I had no idea there was Nye Beach. I had no idea there was a bayfront. Yeah. And City Center was, you know, I went through there. I was
done.
You're done.
Not all out tonight.
Be honest.
Yeah.
Yeah. And so then money was allocated to hire a wayfinding consultant, and they worked with city staff and this group. These people have been meeting for 6+ years
right.
as an ad hoc group to develop a plan. And much of the plan has been implemented at this time, but it's always going to be a work in progress.
Well, phase one of the plan has been implemented might be a better way to describe it. And actually the placement signage, you know, the signage that says Nye Beach, the
right.
signage that says, you know, Bayfront, as opposed to getting you to those locations. That's kind of almost the way I look at phase two in that.
Yeah.
There are some signs out there that are sort of fair to middling in how they work or how they send you, and there's not really a very good comprehensive perspective on how those are all
no.
set up. And that's kind of, I think, the shift of the group now is most of those wayfinding implementation signs, with possible exception of South Beach, are in place, and we're kind of going to that phase two.
Well, and part of it too, Mark, was to sort of brand the city, because
yep.
each of the six districts has its own icon,
mm-hmm.
and then there's the standard icon that we use from our advertising agency, so it all really ties
right.
together.
Yeah, no, it's great.
As some of us recall, when the ad hoc committee formed some 6 years ago, there was an effort made to have each of the five business districts that are listed on the visitor maps represented on the committee, and there's
yes.
no mention of making that effort again in
oh.
the ordinance. And I thought that that might be in there just as something that could be accomplished when possible, leaving two members at large.
And actually, it would probably be one, because didn't we end up with six? We have Agate Beach, Nye Beach, City Center, Bayfront.
Deco District. Agate Beach.
And South Beach.
Is Agate Beach really a district? I mean, it's not unified like
South
you have the Bayfront.
Is it?
Bayfront, Nye, and
it is
Deco.
A district,
yeah.
but it hasn't been
so
unified.
So we only have five?
Yeah, it's mostly residential housing and highway crime.
Well, they do have beach access. They have
yeah.
the lighthouse. So it needs to have...
Well, and it's got its own icon.
Yeah, it does.
Yeah. And there's signage up there that says, "Welcome to Agate Beach."
Mark McConnell would like Agate Beach on the map.
It used to be on the map. It used to have a post office.
Okay, so...
remember?
And its own water district.
You have mineral on the map?
Oh, yes.
Oh, wouldn't that be nice?
It's our water district now.
We have cases and
be careful
and
what you ask for.
Exactly right.
Right. So I think what I heard Stan say was, that the Wayfinding Committee shall consist of 7 members and shall, and I'll word this a little bit differently, serve 2-year terms. All members must be residents or business owners of the city, and when possible, one from each of the 5 identified districts, which we can identify in here.
Well, they're on the visitor map.
Yeah.
That sounds good.
So...
I think it goes without saying that the staff would be the one that coordinated with county and state signage, wouldn't it?
Yeah.
I mean, that seems like it's a big part of this, of our wayfinding, is kind of coordinating with the other jurisdictions.
Exactly. And
I don't know if it needs to be said, but...
Well, I think that it is sort of said generally.
Where's that line?
Where it says
coordinate with staff on the implementation.
Yeah, of wayfinding plans and goals adopted by council. I mean, we do definitely, this is, even if it's formalized, will be an advisory committee. We cannot dictate where signs will be. That's a staff issue, and it will always be a staff issue. Because these guys are, well, he's a guru. He's an expert.
And he's the guru's boss.
Yeah, he's the guru's
that's
boss.
That's most important, right? That you get a title. Instead,
I don't think there's a
call me GB,
comes with that title,
Guru's
yeah.
boss.
Yeah,
I was wondering if
I'm with you. I've got to get a sign that says I'm with him.
Council liaison.
No one says stupid.
Should be a part of it also.
Well, the council.
Yes,
we should have a
shirt.
We should
wear
them. The council always has a liaison to every committee,
oh,
and that's the mark.
Right. Well, that's what I was thinking. Yeah.
So he's already been appointed.
I've already been appointed.
Okay.
But the group does consist of.
I can change the function.
But the council liaison is actually the responsibilities of the council liaison is outlined in the council rules. I mean, Mark will participate in the meetings, but he doesn't have a vote.
Right.
It will just be seven people.
I see.
It's just like the staff. We can come and
I can make comments and perhaps help guide, but my basic responsibility is reporting back to the council.
I see.
You know, telling them how great that is.
I just wanted to make sure that was definitely part of it, because it's nice to have that.
Every committee has one. And you can look at the responsibilities of that person online under the city council, because the council rules are on our website.
No, I think the ordinance, I would move, if we were an official committee, I would move to adopt it with the changes you mentioned.
What we'll do is I'll tweak it, and then I'll send it out to you all again, and then respond as quickly as you can, and we'll get it on the March 18th agenda. How does that sound? So then we'll be formal 30 days after, assuming council adopts it, we'll be formal 30 days after March 18th. It takes 30 days for an ordinance to become effective. So, let's see, beach access signs. Did we need to talk about that?
I'm not sure. But I did sort of incorporate that into, you know, this little thing. I have basically a couple of configurations that I can use that probably will mostly depend on how many, if any, amenity signs I have underneath. And I realize I put these two in here that will probably come off because, you know, as we talked about last week, the food and lodging are probably not the things that, at least in a wayfinding sense, you may want to. But in some other contexts, that may be, I may be using those. But so, for example, if there's three amenities down there that, you know, that go with that parking or that beach access, you know, I probably use this configuration or this one. Probably, if I didn't have anything else going with it, I'd use this one.
And this is sort of related to that, but not so much. But Chuck and Greg, I think the two of you did an inventory, my inventory, and Greg, you have that right.
Yeah.
Have you shared that with Mike?
Not specifically, but the rest of the committee has got, it is a verbal translation.
What would be nice to do is we need to get some sort of a map that identifies what our existing conditions are. So we can lay it out on the table in a committee meeting like this and say, because this is the stuff that Chuck and Greg found out that's existing out there, and these are the recommendations that we want to make regarding that signage and how it needs to change. And then we add the transit signage in there, and we add any type of different signage in there. So then we as city staff have some sort of direction to go back to ODOT and say, okay, here's this laundry list of the corridor down 101 and 20 that needs to be revised. How can we make this work? Likewise with the county, and then also with our own staff, so we can find out, okay, what kind of signage we need, what are our priorities, and what are our costs going to be. That's why we kind of need that overall picture.
Can somebody on our staff, like the Guru and Greg, work together to develop that before the next meeting? And our meetings aren't every month, and they don't have to be even once the committee is formalized. The council still has to accept applications to serve on the committee and make appointments. So we're looking at probably, if we do that in March, we're looking at minimally May, perhaps probably June if we continue the every 3 months.
The map would be possible by then. I'm not so sure by May. It's
Why don't we just plan on it being available by the June meeting? Because that will give council time to accept applications and make appointments.
You know that line on your job description?
Other duties as assigned.
By supervisor. he doesn't have to say anything. I know what's going down.
That's my whole job description. So I think that would be really important. So Greg will have that
Greg and Mike will have that by the June meeting. And then,
Chuck, should we call it Greg and Chuck's, what's that movie?
Possum Road Trip.
Yeah.
I'm glad I didn't
Greg and
have
Chuck's
to go.
Excellent Adventure. That's
what there you go.
I always get car sick.
Chuck, dude.
So anyway, now we can have some committee comments. And I did talk with Chuck yesterday, and he had some issues that he wanted to bring up today, so...
Well, one of them was a citywide map that's out in the community at various locations that you see the overview of the community. And we had, about 5 meetings ago or so, had a pretty extensive conversation, input, and then some follow-up work sessions regarding amending that map. And the idea was that there are some additional maps that need to be printed up for the South Beach District. And since they're not printed up, why don't we take advantage of the ability to update it to include things that aren't on the previous maps? So the difference between what we have now and what we had then and what we have now, there's quite a laundry list of things that would be added, including the OSU Drive, mixed-use path, the Wilder Park, the Disc Frisbee, some of the trail connections. So with that in mind, we almost talked about trying to fast-track it to get it in last summer, but there just absolutely wasn't time to do it. Well, the timeline is approaching for this summer in the visitor season, so I wondered what we can do to accelerate that process and get those changes made and then identify whether it's appropriate to address any of the changes with the existing maps or how that transition takes place over time. So what's... I know that the consultants were going to do a proof for us, and that's...
I haven't touched that whatsoever since we talked about that. Number one, consultant gave us a rate, so many dollars per hour of doing the updating and so forth. But with the count, with this committee talking about doing changes beyond what we had discussed and suggested, I was waiting to hold off until I got direction from my boss. Do we want to add other things in addition? For example, the transient stops. Now we've, excuse me, transit stops. Yes, there we go.
Wow. If you look out our front window, you might not see transit.
That's an appropriate use for that wayfinding sign map because it makes it really busy. And there are other mapping mechanisms for identifying transit stops beyond that.
That's part of my concern. How much more do we want to add? Right now, the signs are busy, but the suggestions for updating it that Chuck and I...
Robin have was... We had a work party.
Correct.
Got to a point with it there, and I would think that that might be a good place to leave it and have those produced. Does... I know that we had some resistance from Newport Signs to do the signs in the past because they didn't have the capacity, but can they make those map replacements instead of shipping it to the other consultant?
No, they cannot. They don't have the equipment to make those signs that big.
Would Pioneer Printing?
No.
And
nobody
is this,
locally,
I mean,
nobody
do we have money for the map update?
We have some wayfinding sign money that's supposed to be used for completing the phase in South Beach. And I think what we're talking about is making whatever those maps are that are in South Beach be the most current ones.
Yeah.
And ultimately, we need to do some reprints for the stuff on the north side, but I think what Chuck was mentioning is let's get the new ones updated down there right out of the gate as part of that process, and then we'll work toward getting some new ones printed.
And can we meet the summer season? The bulk of the tourist traffic really starts July 1st. Is when it really starts. So we do have a window here if we proactively.
I'm looking timing wise. By the time you put out the bid and so forth, and I suspect the same sign company will get it as they've gotten the last two phases. You're probably not looking till August, September till we get the material.
Well, we don't even have a proof of the discuss corrections, so we need to fast track that.
Well, can work toward at least at this point, just getting the proof back.
Yes.
Making sure that's good. And then we can take that next step and advertise it, and when it gets in, it gets in.
And
we can at least get the proof.
Is this something, I mean, how much money are you talking about? Is it something that has to be advertised, or is it?
No.
We can get three quotes, but trying to reach sign companies gets to be a little sketchy because they're not exactly a dime a dozen, you know.
Right. Well, it almost seems like, do we have the artwork?
The artwork is ours, but if we're going to update, then you might as well use the same consultant to update. They've got the base.
Oh, no, totally. Yeah. No, I wouldn't think we would change consultants. No.
By the same token, if we have a digital file that exists there, you know, graphic artists locally, you know, Penner Pretty, perhaps others, you know, can take that digital file and make, you know, some of the amendments. So I don't know if it would be appropriate to consider segue in that direction to give us a little bit more local control and more maybe some cost savings. I don't know.
I will explore that. I'm not real sure that can be done, but I will explore that.
As far as proprietary or how not done?
Well, I think.
Because the graphic artist can make all the changes and then they produce a new digital file, and that's just outsourced to anybody that wants to do the output of the sign. And it might.
That might be a lot more streamlined in getting that.
Exactly. I guess, I mean, we probably already have that map in a digitized form, don't we?
Yeah, we do. We do. That's
so, I mean, maybe that's really an excellent idea, because there are probably a couple places here, maybe even LaserQuick. And Digital Diner and Pioneer Printing.
Yeah, I'm certain any of them could do that work.
Yeah. And that might be because it's not going to be so expensive that we couldn't just get three quotes from those folks. And there might be more that I'm not aware of.
Well, and so I'm going to beat a dead horse here. For example, Pioneer Printing, that map is simply an adhesive. I'm not sure what the material is. What is the material of the map?
You know, I'm not exactly sure.
You know, because it sticks over the top of the actual sign, the vinyl, you know?
Right.
Our local printers can't produce a product like that?
A lot of those are sent out. They send them out to have them done.
That's really surprising to me, because I've seen some of the products they produce, and I would think that they could do that.
If it were something that was going to be happening on a regular basis, somebody might be motivated to invest in that equipment, but I'm sure it's expensive.
Yeah.
Excuse me, so how big are you talking?
The visitor maps.
The big visitor maps.
24 inches wide.
36 by.
The places that have the best equipment are Idea Printworks.
Oh, right.
And Ken Spencer's place. I mean, they have huge formats.
I worked with Ken exclusively the last 3 years.
Okay.
So, Greg, are you going to check that out?
Yes.
Okay.
And are they the entity then that would do the proof for us?
If that's where we went, yes.
Is that what we're thinking? A, we get the digital file from our consultants. And
we have the digital file.
Do
we have
and I'm not sure we might check with the graphic artist to see. Sometimes they have to flatten the file, and then you can't get back to the layers. I don't know. You might have to go back to a version of it that the layers aren't flattened. To be able to pull out layers, they have different layers for different features on the map. They can highlight trails, and all the trails pop up. So to cut to the chase sooner, discussing with our existing consultants or taking our digital file we have now, you just hand it to the graphic artist and said, hey, can you deal with this?
Can you undo the layers?
Right. Yeah. And maybe that's not a big deal, but it would be nice to
expose
them to it immediately so that we can know.
It's phase one of the process anyway. We might as well start.
Greg's going to follow up on that, and if he has news, I will email it to all of you.
From what we need to finish with the South Beach signs, it's the city maps is the one that revising the maps is the one that's the holdup. The other signs that need to go up are inconsequential.
Yeah, I think that what Chuck is talking about is just the revision of the tourist map.
However, there is one sign. It identifies the South Beach area. According to the location map, that's supposed to go in ODOT's right-of-way, and the former mayor is supposed to work with ODOT on that issue. I've worked with ODOT 3 or 4 months to try and see if I can't get that to go there, and they flatly refuse. Our signs do not meet their standards to go in their right-of-way.
Remind us where that location, proposed location is?
Right near the bridge.
If you're headed south, you are?
No, underneath the bridge. There by the old port campgrounds, etc.
So as you...
as you're coming out.
Yeah. What street is that that loops around there?
OSU Drive.
Yeah. It's got 226 slash OSU Drive, which is really all in ODOT right away.
Yes.
We might look at that. I mean, what I start looking at, because we get into those things where, like, this, the church directional signs the state, you know, sort of tolerates, but they have a tendency to pull them out when they're doing anything and stuff like that. So I look for places where I can get them visible from the highway, but on our right of way, on the cross street. But they may have a lot of right-of-way down there. So
you and I looked at that when on our drive.
They have that whole space down there.
There's a whole fleet of signs that could be down there, that needs to be down there underneath the bridge, including the
state
parks. State Park has a beautiful amenity in the South Beach jetty in that day-use area. And when Mr. Kroger, is it Kirk? It's a guy from the State Parks that's usually here.
I know you're Claude Crawford.
Yeah, Claude. When Claude and John were approached, they're happy to help install those things. And there are some signs down there right now.
They just want to pay for them.
Existing signs for like aquarium ahead and things like that.
This is a little bit.
So
I've not seen that, but this is on the local.
There's a lot of signs that this we indicated that need to be down there, and you're saying that ODOT won't let us put any signs down.
It has to meet their requirements.
Resistance out of this group.
It has to be an MPCD sign.
Yeah.
Our happy
medium
right now.
Yeah.
Well, I think that ODOT is, and Tim, correct me if I'm wrong, isn't ODOT still having quarterly meetings with us?
Yeah, we just scheduled like one. I put my calendar down and see what that is. But
so with that.
Meeting with Amy Ramsdell and Joel Steele up here shortly.
Good luck with that.
That's the quarterly meeting. Those are the two representatives that we meet with. So,
well, I'll tell you about Amy later. But
I thought she was a new appointed person.
She was. She was the interim director, and now she's the official director of Region 4.
She was the person who coordinated specking the bridge lighting project.
Oh,
that's right.
Well,
but anyway,
Joe gets things done, so we have a good relationship, and we can figure things out.
Would you mind bringing this issue up?
What issue am I bringing up?
I thought you were paying attention. Can Greg tell you later? I mean, the placement of signage in ODOT right away, and we're not talking under. We're talking under the bridge.
Well, see, and that's. I'm going to go right back to the map because I won't even bring up piecemeal. We need to give them a laundry list and work through it, because if we start coming in with 10 requests,
right,
they're going to balk.
Exactly.
We bring in one request and we can work through it.
But I sense that your meeting, since it's just scheduled, when will that be, like 3 months?
Yeah, we do it quarterly, so we're not going to be prepared for this next one, but we should be prepared for the following.
Okay.
And really only as
he's
applicable
right
to the ODOT work.
We don't want to go to ODOT every month with a different
yep
request.
They
we
will
need to
not
coordinate.
Comply.
No.
You go in and you go in with both barrels loaded, and they will be okay.
Take
with
all
that
your projects with you
yeah
at once.
Because mm-hmm,
well,
what they'll do is they'll assign their sign crew, and they'll go right down the strip, and they'll make the revisions that are necessary in one fell swoop. You know, but if you're out there fixing one sign at a time, they're going to get ornery.
We have a fairly comprehensive request list. You know, in the three-hour tour, the thing that...
I know, but we need to vet that through this committee, because I have not had an opportunity.
Can we put
that's,
that on
that's
an
part of my
agenda
point we've been
that's
talking
coming
about.
Up. Yeah, that's coming up in
we're missing the theme to Gilligan's Island.
Well, we can work on that.
We can do that before June, can't we, even though we're not?
No, well, Greg can't. Greg needs that time to get it together, okay. Right, Greg?
Yes.
Yeah. So Greg is going to work on it, and then in June, this may well be a formal committee, and we'll put that on the agenda, a sign inventory review. So, and then Chuck also had another question, and it is also pertaining to ODOT, so that can go on the list. But down by the hospital on 101, there's a sign that addresses all sorts of different amenities, but there's no arrow, so you don't know where to go. Isn't that what you said?
Yeah, at Southwest Abbey and 101, where you would turn to go to the hospital, there's currently a fleet of icons that are floating in space with no header. The previous header that is missing used to say Coast Guard Station in Historic Bayfront, and an arrow that directed people to turn at Abbey Street. And for over a year, the icons have been floating in space. And I know I've talked to everybody in the city manager on down, and Tim's been good enough to give me names in the past of people at ODOT to talk to. And I did finally get a hold of that David Haycheck. He's the guy that actually does the work. And when I spoke to him, he said he would look at that area specifically. And I also said, well, hey, Dave, we got this whole laundry list of ODOT-related signs from Aggie Beach to South Beach that we're developing. And he goes, well, just make your list up, fax it to me, I'll look at it, and I can respond. He said some of them could happen, obviously, easier than others if they're just maintenance or replacement. But at least he sounded like he was wanting to help solve the problems.
And I would think that would be the case. They're helpful, but we want to give them to them in a laundry list. We don't want to give them these
one at a
right,
time.
Well, that's what we said, yeah. give, and so, yeah, it goes back to our...
So that can go on the list, the inventory that's developed, and then the subsequent list for ODOT.
I would suggest that once the map's developed and everything's written on it, and it's going to be a big map, then the meeting come and discuss it. Obviously, we've got quite a laundry list, so we've got to go through it fairly quickly, and then we come up with a list to present.
And we probably don't. We would it be helpful to have a work session between now and then to help.
Well, that's. I need time to get that map together.
Yeah, that's an issue.
And if you have it before June, you'll let us know. We could.
And I mean, it's yes. Greg has other duties as a sign.
As a sign, so I have two supervisors.
So,
sorry.
Chuck, did you have something else from our discussion the other day?
Really? Okay. The citywide maps were the main.
Right. Does anyone else have anything? And
Mike is just talking about it. Third Street doesn't have a sign.
It does.
What are we talking about?
If it went up.
It went up
last
recently.
Night.
And
last night.
I was asking him about
it. It's not there.
Okay.
Which one is that?
Well, it's certainly on the poles because I saw it. There's one on Third Street on the northeast,
on the
northwest
highway.
Corner.
On the highway.
On the highway.
Yeah.
But it's only facing. Northbound, so you're coming south, and you can see the sign, and that's what I was asking Mike about because the arrangement on that sign.
Are you talking about the sign that says Northeast for Third Street, or
could we set the tone?
No, I'm talking about the wayfinding sign.
You know,
the brown.
I think they move right. No, we. Yeah.
It's that old
because when everyone talks at once, it's difficult down at this end.
Well, they're talking about the Third Street sign.
We need to work through that.
There's something not quite right there.
Yeah, people can't see it if they're coming from. The north. They can't see it traveling south. The sign used to be on the
You can see it going southbound. You can't see it going northbound, but I saw.
It
got moved across the intersection is what happened.
Oh, I see. You're saying it's on
There's
the east side of the highway.
There's an existing sign on the east side of the highway for northbound traffic that we didn't touch.
Yeah.
So that one is there.
But people aren't looking on that side to turn.
Yeah. Well, they should look on the right-hand side. The standard place for the signs to be is on the right-hand side.
This way, you're looking right. There is no sign on the right. There is no sign at the gas station.
Now we're going to talk about what signs we're talking about. You're talking about the sign that says Northeast 3rd Street?
Yeah, it's not
okay.
there.
Okay, yes, you're correct. the sign that is there mm-hmm. is the one that says Historic Nye Beach.
Mm-hmm. And that sign has an illegal sign attached to it. Veterinary yeah, hospital.
The veterinary hospital sign.
And if he's going to put his sign up there, we want to put a Nye Beach sign up there.
That's out of my jurisdiction.
So how do we get rid of it?
Yeah. That's another the post I'm talking about, though. Yeah, that's the post that I'm actually referring to. Is that one had the old recreational sign put back up on it.
Yeah, but it doesn't
old
say
plywood
Third Street.
ODOT yeah. sign put back on it.
Yeah, yeah. I put that back up.
Okay. Just recently, but it doesn't say Third Street.
Yeah.
No, that's not what I'm talking about. We're yeah. talking about yeah. specifically these signs, but those happen to be white on brown.
Yeah, people need that Third Street sign.
Yeah, that yeah. one needs to go back.
Yeah. yeah.
I've had lots of complaints from merchants.
I have some, is that done? I have
think
a new top.
So it will be addressed, the Third Street
yes.
sign. Okay.
Playgrounds are a real amenity to the community, and I know we have Coast Park in Nye Beach, and then the Wilder Park. I think that Kitty Park is public. Is there a playground symbol?
Yes.
Yes. I don't
oh, yes. that's it. Okay. Yes. Great.
Yeah, so we'll include that as part of our overall map here.
And then the RV parking, is that what... That is, or how are we going to designate RV parking?
No, that it's not really a designator for RV parking itself. It's just parking. And so we okay. try and, if we can, provide spaces large enough for RVs. But to specifically designate RV parking is not really any sort of symbol that says that. You know, I'm assuming you might be able to put on the same sign an RV and a P, but that would really get tight.
Yeah, it's just that we do have RV with the circle ones. There's RV below the parking sign. Ah, that's how to do it, isn't it? Put the RV below the P. That's what the rounds.
That's
a few
the, that's what the wayfinding plan has tried to do.
Mm-hmm.
How well that actually works, I you know.
Yeah.
It's just I don't either.
There's not a specific directional sign that's for RV parking. There's mm-hmm. RVs, which is traditionally thought of as RV parks.
Oh.
Not parking, but actually mm-hmm. where you park your camper oh. and you right. sleep in
facilities
it.
Facilities.
And then there's parking.
Are we going to continue to use the little round RV symbol, or has that been given the axe?
We're going to hew those.
Okay.
We just, they're not something that we can use. I would much rather go to a system like this that we can, it's far more versatile and conforms with our MUTCD standards.
So pretty much parking's going to be comprehensive and specified or
when again, the sign that says RV has no designation whether it's actually for people to camp or for people to park
yes,
either.
That's
it says
true.
RV.
Right, but when it was under the big, when it was under the P, and you had the parking.
You could have those two signs together. It's the same principle. And again, it comes back to initially, yeah. this has been meant for an RV site versus
right
an RV
right.
parking lot.
Uh-huh.
Right.
So if you put the RV and a P, then they automatically think they can stay overnight.
Well, and they right. do. You see people in Knife and Herbert, and they're parking
oh,
their campers
yeah.
there.
Oh.
And,
you don't want that.
No.
But it doesn't matter where you go. If it's a parking lot, they'll park there and
yeah.
sleep in it. And we talked about having signage at the parking lots that restrict hours. We've gone through that before. You know, the cab company parks their vehicles there 24 hours a day.
Yeah.
You know, that's a whole other story. That's a whole beyond the scope of this thing.
Have all the RV, roundy RVs been removed?
No, we haven't done anything.
Are you going to remove them because you're not going to support them? Or?
Well, I think that's part of the process of wayfinding, that those locations will probably have some sort of signage that we will identify, and then we'll do whatever we need to do in order to market a product.
Probably other points around town, but when you come down Bay Street to approach Bay Boulevard at the Bay Street Pier, I think there's still an RV with an arrow sign that we always
yeah.
talk about as one of the several that are there, and it says RV with an arrow with no follow-up directional arrows or anything, and so it's if we're not going to support it, then the sooner you take it down, the better.
And that's pointing, if I'm not mistaken, that points up
east Bay Boulevard.
On Bay Boulevard.
Go east on Bay Boulevard
from Bay Street. Bay.
Yeah.
And it just hangs there. We've asked over the months. Well, if we have that there, don't we want an RV direct up Hatfield? Or
it should go
up
that street
way.
Toward the. It
Canyon
should go
way.
Up the street up Canyon Way.
Right.
Is where we want to send them.
But if we're not, are we not using those? If we're not using the thing at all, then we can't. Then we're kind of getting out of that RV directional.
That's not what we're saying at all. What I'm saying is that I don't want to go out and start yanking signs or doing anything until we have a plan. And then when we have a plan and how we want to direct RVs for parking or RVs for going to RV parks. We'll have to figure out some sort of methodology that makes sense to give RVs directions to where they can park their vehicle so they're not getting shoehorned in, mm-hmm. say, on the Bayfront, or they pull up that street. What is that? That's Herbert Street. They pull up that steep route at Herbert Street. You can see all the drag marks from the RVs and how they get hung up in there. We want to direct them specifically to a place where they have room to park their vehicles, and we haven't quite figured out that. That's getting down into the weeds a little bit.
But you're not going to use the RV symbol anymore.
Not the round symbols, no.
And the only other symbol that's available to functionally do what we're talking about doing is that?
Is the photo of the RV. It's exactly this. It's basically the exact same symbol, except one says RV and one has a picture
of
it.
So then you have to have parking plus the RV symbol.
Yeah, but the other RV symbol never indicated of a parking either. It just said RV.
Well,
and then it had a parking sign associated with it.
Well, yeah. Some of them had the big P with an RV below it, and it was real clear to the average person that, oh, that's a parking area with a caveat for RV.
But this to me kind of gets
this is exactly the same sign right there.
I think a lot of this can be resolved when we mm-hmm. get the map.
Yeah, well, I was thinking
and
in terms of,
it sounds like
it sort of gets into when a generic parking sign like this is directing people to where they can park. Take like the Oregon Coast Aquarium. Quite often, if it's a private parking lot, once you pull in, that private party has established their own additional signs for like where RVs and whatnot can park.
I
think what we really need to focus on is where, if anywhere, are there places that the city actually controls that are places where RVs could park.
I think that's specifically what we're talking about.
Right, and then not worry about, you know, so much what happens in terms of getting people to, you know, starting out in downtown Newport knowing that they can park their RV someplace across at some private establishment.
It ends up becoming a series of directional signs. So if you look at it at the 100,000-foot view, all you're doing is getting people off the highway to a district. Then when you actually get into the district, then you give them additional directional signage for parking, RV parking, restaurants, you know, where you get a little bit more detail than, you know, if you go up this street, you can park your RV. If you go down that street, you can park your car. And so I would be surprised if we would have some sort of combination RV parking signage out on Highway 101 with the possible exception of maybe 9th and Herbert, you know, because that's one of the few lots or the one over by Pig and Pancake where you can get somebody to go and park a big unit. Yeah, when you get down to the Bayfront, you probably want to specifically have it because you don't want them parking on the Bayfront.
Right.
You want them parking off the Bayfront. Yeah.
Well, that's how it all got started because Night Beach and Bayfront both wanted to focus RVs appropriately.
So they know where they can park.
You have probably a Bayfront parking district interest in the RV signs.
And also
I think
a
their
Beach
intent
district.
Was with those signs, we're sending them east on Bay Boulevard, down past everything, and then we didn't really have, it was just on-street parking, so you know, that's kind of a problem with making that work, I think, but that's kind of the picture that I...
That's probably one of the more convoluted things we're going to have to work through is how to direct a particular type of vehicle to a particular location and have somebody understand that this is where they're supposed to be. You know, we almost need a sign that says, you're here. Or even we may have to do some sort of wording that says RV parking.
Just like they do in the private lots.
Mm-hmm. RV parking in an arrow, and then maybe you actually have the signage where there's space for RVs. RV parking area, or I don't know how that will end up working.
Right, that way they know they hit their destination.
Yeah. Would that be
something you'd want to consider putting on the big overall map? So when somebody rolls into town, they're looking at the big overall map and kind of getting the layout, it's laid out like this. They see a little RV parking, two or three RV parking nodes within the map, so they would pre-educate themselves a little bit.
If you choose to do that, you're going to delay the upgrading of the signs.
Well,
the upgrading of what signs?
The revised city map, yes.
Well, no, you just make a decision that you want to take the area by the armory and then you pick two areas if you can. And
what I'm hearing is that decision hasn't been made and it's still under discussion.
Well, okay. And the other thing is, if you're coming into town in an RV, you have to find a place to park your RV to look at the sign to figure out where to park.
Well, is that really the point of that map? That point is to identify areas of interest.
Mm-hmm.
And if you start identifying every parking lot that you have in town, you're sort of muddying the waters on the purpose of that sign. The sign is, you know, you want to know where the Bayfront is, you want to know where areas of restaurants are, and when you get to that region, your directional signage should be sufficient that when somebody pulls into that region with their RV, they don't have to think real hard to figure out where to go because you have appropriate signage to get them there.
Right. I was talking maybe two nodes.
It's already on the map.
Well, the parking in general, key.
RV public parking.
Well,
yes.
Where is it designated?
Bayfront.
I think
there's one on the Bayfront, and then there's one at 9th and Harper.
Yeah, there's one up here on Lair of Sand, way down here, almost to the Embarcadero.
At the east end of the Bayfront.
Over here. Yeah.
It would be really helpful to have one of those big maps with us at these meetings.
I have one in my office.
You always talk about these things in the abstract, and then if you look at the map quickly, you can kind of just reload your brain in terms of thinking about things.
Well, the other thing is with RVs, you've got really, two categories even within RVs. You've got big RVs that drive everywhere, and then what I think is great about the idea of knowing where a couple of generic RV sites might be, you got people that'll pull in and then they'll disconnect their whatever they're pulling behind them.
Mm-hmm.
Right? They just want to park their RV there and then jump in their Geo Metro or whatever they're pulling behind them and run around town and park some other place. And you see that a lot down 101.
It doesn't
more and more of the ones that are pulling something that they're going to run around in. But
isn't it kind of known nationally that Walmart kind of favors RV parking, but isn't there something with
the city nixed it,
but that was correct. Overnight issues.
Yeah.
Yeah, but when people come to town, there's a Walmart, they got an RV.
They still gravitate that way. Yeah, they still overnight there.
Well, one thing's for sure, their new parking design sure goofed that up.
Yeah, it makes it harder.
Used to be really easy for RVs to pull in there.
It's hard for everyone.
Now it's like...
They have the fanciest design. Parking lot in town now, yeah, and landscape.
And the most twisted around one.
Yeah.
So while Tim is gathering the map, I just wanted to review what will be on the next agenda. We'll have the sign inventory review, and then we'll have the map review, and we'll have the tweaked suggestion form. We'll have the list, or we'll develop the list for ODOT, and then anything else?
That list would come from discussion on the map review, or you guys already have that, and then everybody just looks at it to see if there's...
I think you'll probably come up with an ODOT list, or will you not?
The tour that Chuck and I went on was very detailed. Not only ODOT, but city, possibly county, etc.
So we can have a list of ODOT signage, and then a list... of city
breaking
signage.
It down.
Yeah, and then we'll have the map. And then we'll tweak we'll see the tweaked suggestion form. And I'm suggesting that the meeting be held on the first Friday in June, and I don't have my calendar in here, so whatever day that is. Because historically this group has gotten together on Fridays, which seems to work for most people.
It's the 7th.
June 7th?
The maps that I will have will probably be pretty big along with the existing printout of the existing map, so we'll need a room larger than
this. We'll go to conference room A next time, and then the other thing is council will, if they formalize this committee and make appointments, it is entirely possible that not everyone who's been historically attending the meetings will be officially members of the committee. That does not mean that you can't come and participate.
Right.
And I would encourage you all to continue.
I would emphasize that as well.
Regardless,
Meg, you have a question. Who's the keeper of the official digital file of the map?
That would be...
Who?
Gregory.
Oh, you. Oh, okay.
Sorry, I have a much bigger one, but I think you got given to somebody.
So, Tim, we just... because we're kind of nearing the end of our meeting. It's been about an hour, and we try to keep it short. But our next agenda, just for your information, will include a sign inventory review, a review of this updated map. Greg's going to develop, he's going to separate the sign inventory so that there's the ODOT sign that's in the cities.
And there's a map that was already generated initially that shows a lot of the signage on 101 already. I have that one in my office.
Well, he can.
And maybe you can pick up with that one and either remove the ones that have been exchanged as part of the wayfinding sign process and just continue on.
He's going to work with you on that. And then we're going to look at the tweaks suggested me or somebody on that.
I think we already got all the comments on our sign form. I just need to sort of incorporate it into the form, and then I'll send it to you to look at. How's that sound?
Yeah. So our next meeting will be June 7th at 8:30 in the morning.
Another thing is getting the access signed at Georgie's there.
The beach access sign?
I think
the mayor was trying to work on.
Okay, because we need to talk to the Hallmark, or somebody needs to talk. I talked with the manager, I forget his name right
Rip.
Now. Yeah, Rip. And he was, he's like, okay, but they have a number of concerns. And that parking lot really needs to be.
Is that the city owned access?
Yes.
Beach access, yes.
So why
there
are we
was
even
a, there was a street right away.
Because they built the stairway.
There was a street right away there.
Yeah, the agreement.
And you said that.
And city vacated that in exchange that Hallmark create a beach access and stairs down to the beach, and they keep it open and signed to the public.
So is there an easement there?
Yes.
Okay. So we do have the authority to use it.
We have an agreement with Hallmark.
Gotcha. Okay.
But I'd like to see that for the summer. It'd be nice if that could get signed.
Yeah. People who are even staying at the Hallmark don't know it's there.
And then there, well, Tim, you should just look at the agreement that Peggy pulled out from 1980 something, I think it was.
As long as you give us authority to walk down there and sign it.
I sent that agreement out to everybody at least once, and so I'll make sure that you get a copy of it. Greg's seen it.
I'm sure I have it if you sent it. It's probably in my wayfinding file.
Anyway, anybody else have anything?
I said one thing that I recalled from talking to the David ODOT. He said that they're researching their records, that they're under some impression that the DECO district of Newport, when it was formed, that there was some sort of signage maintenance responsibility given or passed over to the city to take it out of ODOT's hand, and one of his little caveats was, well, I've got to look into that. We're still researching that, and it shouldn't be too hard to research either it is or it isn't.
It wasn't an agreement that we made. It was an agreement they wanted to make. But we said, not in your wildest dreams.
Okay. So they can't really fall back on that.
They brought that up to me again about 6 months ago. Like, hey, we'll let you put anything you want up if you guys take over maintenance of the sign. We'd really like to give you everything to the backs of the side.
So they
like
keep repeating.
No. No.
Anybody else have anything?
The specific signage associated with any kind of wayfinding is a little different. We're not talking about ODOT signage now, but any signs that are custom. You know, there's some custom street signs. The ones that have the old logos and stuff on them. So there's a few that are calling you out right away. That would be it. Yeah, they've been trying to shift responsibility and maintenance of the Highway 101 signage to us for a long time.
So if there isn't anything else, it's 20 minutes till 10, and I think we should call it a day.
Good.
Thank you.
Thank you all.
I wish we could have
Tim, is there a walk around for the parking district scheduled? I might have missed it. And you said maybe Ted was going to do it for the parking committee.
Yeah, Derek scheduled something. Beautiful. All that campus was going to go.